1350 KMAN.
And good morning. Welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. My name is Brandon Peoples, and today we're talking Riley County government. We have in studio with us this morning Riley County Commission Chair District 3 Ron Wells in studio. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's very nice to be here. Like I say, it's not my favorite kind of weather right now today, but at least we didn't get that freezing moisture on the pavement. So I left a little early to get out here, make sure I was here on time. With the school zones and things, it takes a little bit longer to get here.
The fog, is it lifting a little bit out there?
It is, yeah. It's okay. Kind of got a little heavier there after sun up. I guess you'd call it sun up. But, yeah, it looks like it's starting to burn off.
All right. A little hard to see here. We have some windows back here, but they're kind of few and far.
I know.
all right. Well, new year here for the Riley County Commission. I know you guys had your I don't know if that wasn't your first meeting, I guess, necessarily. We were kind of in the second week or so of January. But a lot of new stuff going on
here.
Yes,
quite a bit. It's the second week, you know, on the 14th. That's when all the swearing in, including the governor of the state of Kansas. We have a new Riley County Commissioner, John Ford, on board now. And we changed the makeup of the board. We changed chairman and vice chair. And typically the older members or the senior members assume that position and don't put that on the new commissioner, at least the first year anyway. So get a little time under his belt. That occurred yesterday, and we had four judges sworn in. So a real busy time. And then we had to conduct our normal routine business, too, for the first year. We had a deal with a contract on the Fancy Creek Bridge. We had some concerned farmers and people from North County that were upset at the timing of the bridge. And so I went ahead and let them speak, and we tried to work things out. But it was going to cost $75,000, $80,000, $90,000 more to move it from April 1st to November, which as far as the burning season – still included April, whichever way we went. But then they have farming operations, and I understand taking a 12-mile detour. You know, it's a nuisance. Been through it before. We put a bridge in. Sometimes we can put a shoe fly, which is a passage through the creek around a bridge. In this case, it has to be a detour of about 12 miles, and it's inconvenient. And it's hard, difficult to do to get people to look ahead. Because a year from now, it'll be finished. I mean, things will be over. Things will be back to normal with a brand-new bridge. So I just didn't feel comfortable spending an extra $75,000, $80,000, $90,000 and put the contractor through that, because that would leave him with an empty space this summer. So we opted to go ahead with a bridge on its regular construction date. And for people that don't – they brought up, you know, why don't you bid the job on a specific date? In order to do that, we would probably eliminate a number of bidders, and certainly would increase the cost of the project. And our job is to make best use of those sales tax dollars for road and bridge.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So that will now start on April 1st versus November 1st, then, no delay coming with that. You also, I know, discussed a little bit about the new radio system. I understand some snags with that.
As usual, and of course, being a commissioner, I guess you could say I'm in government too. But I do complain about the higher up level of government, the bureaucracy more so. County, the bureaucracy just isn't there. But what we run into is. The load on the towers, on a couple towers in Fort Riley, are going to be too heavy. And so we would have to construct new towers. It's an ideal situation, but as Commissioner Rodriguez pointed out, what if we have a problem and one goes down and we're not allowed on the post that day? So it brought up a lot of other problems. So Pat Collins is looking at some other sites, and we have other sites selected. Then we have a problem with locating some equipment. And so there's these snags that crop up can't be foreseen. And so we're dealing with it, and things are moving forward. So it's just a part of doing business, so to speak.
How long do you think that will delay this project?
I don't know if it'll necessarily add much delay to it. Our time frame is a year or two down the road as far as being fully implemented anyway, but I can't tell you right now. Pat would be a better person to talk to on that because he deals with this on a day-to-day basis.
Okay.
So, but we are moving forward. And then coming up this weekend on Friday and Saturday is the Flint Hills Regional Leaders Retreat, which we attend with the local chambers of commerce. It's a good opportunity to be networking and talking about the region in this area, which is very, very important, you know, the workforce and what's going to happen. The scary part right now is they're forecasting a lot of snow down in the Olathe area, especially Saturday morning, through the night and Saturday morning. So I'm curious to see. I'll be watching the weather closely to see if they continue with this or if the weather may make some kind of a change on the planning on this.
What is there an agenda for that? Or what they?
Well, there is. It's fairly broad. The Zoom Prospector, what it is and how it can help our business. Foot Consulting Group will be talking about the site selector insight for our region, and then I have the region re-imaged, and so basically it's just working between the local governments and the Chamber of Commerce, and then listen to have experts come in to speak in these fields of site location, just different things, developing strategies for economic development, and then our workforce, which is very important. As you know, we have a very low unemployment rate, and it causes us some problems with trying to get businesses to come into the area.
Yeah.
So, but it's busy times, and like I say, it's very beneficial. I've learned a lot from that. And another thing coming on, too, is this is our first year having the ambulance service operated by Raleigh County. Now, there's some misconception out there that before us, it was a private entity, which it wasn't. It was just operated for Raleigh County by the hospital. And at the time, we were people didn't pay much attention to the ambulance service, actually, as far as financially and things. And then when we got involved, when the hospital decided that they no longer wanted to provide that service of managing it, we found out they were only collecting 38% of our money. And so the first full year of operation, we had some initial upfront costs, but we've reduced the charge per run. We've got the price down. We've increased our collections by quite a bit of money. I think we've increased the total cash collections by over $350,000, and which collected per call is about 35.22%, and we cut our operational costs by 4.92%. And that's when compared to 2017, the last year, you know, at the hospital had it. So we're able to collect bad debt where the hospital can't do that. So. So far, the ambulance service, the biggest thing now is to get our ambulances moved further northward. We're planning on moving one up to the county shops, which will be somewhat closer. There's been some misconceptions on a couple other sites why we don't put an ambulance there, and there's a lot of restrictions on that and reasons we can't, which would take too long to go into this morning. But we are working on moving the ambulances further north. And that'll be coming up hopefully this year. We'll get everything in place, and that should decrease the calls. But it's simple, logic. People say, well, we pay the same taxes up north, which they do. But if you look at it philosophically, you've got a number of ambulances, and you've got 55,000 people right here and 400 calls, and you've got 15,000 out, or less than that, actually, in the north part, and you get 30 calls. So where would you park them the closest to? And then also they forget that we go as far as Zinedale and the interstate south of Manhattan. So it's, it's one of those, you have to do the best that you can within reason. And so there's no guarantees in life, but we do realize that there's people up north that feel left out. So we're working on that direction. Marvin, Commissioner Rodriguez is working very hard on that. There's another misconception that was on the radio here that Clay County won't come into Raleigh County on an accident or heart attack or something. Now, that is that's their choice, their provision. That's not has no impact. We have nothing to stop them from doing that. That's all strictly on Clay County.
Okay. Sounds like we've got a phone call here, so let's get right to it. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Thank you for thinking about moving the facilities out to the county yard. You know, with all the millions of dollars you're spending on developing the north end of K-State property, we're moving that direction. Another item about your ambulances you might think about, when those K-State kids ripped that car out from under me, sure, it was a dramatic wreck, and we flew all through the over there in front of Target. But I didn't call the ambulance. The fellow that hit me didn't call the ambulance. Out in the real world, when the police show up, they call the ambulance. Hmm. And all of a sudden, this ambulance showed up, and they were beside themselves that they were going to take me to the hospital. And it wasn't going to happen. That would have been one less call if you have a reasonably responsible officer that understands the need or the lack of need for a service of an ambulance. That's just a real-life experience for you.
Hmm.
Thank you for all your efforts.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the call. Like I said, that's one item I haven't thought of. You know, that's there are so many different parts and pieces to this, and there again, you start bringing up individual situations. It's difficult to plan for each one. I know that several times that I've had to call the ambulance for a family member or somebody, why it's I don't give it a second thought. You know, of course, I call the 911 number and tell them what I need, and they show up. So I just my best case scenario is I hope that I don't need one. But that's not going to happen. We've had some pretty terrific accidents up in Norris County. The bottom line is we can't put an ambulance everywhere. And if you put an ambulance, say, towards the north boundary of Raleigh County, and there's an accident on 77, and their patient has been transported to Topeka Hospital, and you call from Norris County, they're going to get an ambulance from Manhattan. I mean, so there's just no guarantees in life. But the county commissioners are working very hard, and Marvin's doing an excellent job on moving at least one ambulance further north.
Okay. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back with more In Focus with Raleigh County Commission Chair Ron Wells when we return here on News Radio KMAN.